New space. And one of the things that we were talking about is that all of us are kind of pursuing different theirs in our life. And usually once we get to a certain there, we kind of are excited about that. There's passion in that. And then we kind of are ready to move to a next there in our life. And so for all of us, we kind of talk a lot here at Catalyst about the idea of taking first steps and next steps in our relationship with God. And we're always about encouraging those. And so throughout this series, we've kind of talked about how to engage those, because one of the things that we've recognized as a leadership specifically is that sometimes we don't have a resource issue and sometimes we don't have a willingness issue, but really we have kind of a clarifying and matching issue. And so I kind of begin to hone that down of how do we make sure that we clarify, how do we match needs and next steps to the resources and the relationships and the different things that we have. And so one of the things that we started with was this idea of, in week two, we talked about this idea of I have a question. And this idea that questions initiate next steps. Questions are often the catalyst for next steps in our life. And we talked about that there's this willingness, as we are willing to ask deeper questions, that God usually is always willing to release information that opens the door to new opportunities. In week two, we talked about the idea that I need a resource. That was last week. Excuse me, this was week three of this series. We talked about that I need a resource. And we talked about how the fact that there is resources available that we can engage with, but sometimes there's a disconnect and there's explanation perhaps that's needed. But also for many of us are like one resource away from a huge next step in our relationship with God. And so in part two of the series, we talked about and leaned into the value of soap. And as Kelly was mentioning, this idea that as the word gets into us, there's greater opportunity for the word of life to flow out of us. And so last week we talked specifically about soap, and I hope that maybe for many of you, you've kind of taken the initiative this week to maybe start practicing the soap method of studying the Bible, of chapter a day and scripture and observation, application, and prayer. If you weren't with us last week or you need to get a soap guide, we've moved those back to the connection point and would love for you to get one of those as you exit today, just because we believe that soap is not just a great resource, but it's a great way for the Word of God to get regularly into us, and how we believe that even though worship should flow regularly out of us, there's a need for the Word to be flowing regularly into our life. Now, today, I want to talk about part four of this When We Get There series, and I want to talk about part three, I guess, of the next step process. We've kind of talked about this idea of I have a question. We've talked about this idea of I need a resource. But today, I want to talk about perhaps the most challenging next step component to really get my arms around. And this is the reason why at first I actually kind of dreaded this message. But the more I really asked the Lord for kind of a specific new fresh word today, because I want to tell you what usually happens when we come to this idea of I need a relationship. Here's where we've defaulted in the past. We've basically said that if you need a relationship, that the way we do relationships here at Catalyst is that you should just get in a small group, you should be consistent, you should do life together, and you should find someone who's a little bit ahead of you in life and kind of try to figure out how to be, you know, grow in that, and someone who's behind you in kind of your trajectory of life and try to move forward in that. And that's been our posture. You know, that's what we've said. We've said, you know, we believe that life transformation happens best in groups, and that we believe that, and we still affirm that. But here's the problem. And I think that this was the part that the Lord kind of helped me understand this week in a way that maybe I've not thought through before. See, it's a problem that we've assumed for far too long in the church. Because see, most of what happens here is actually set up to help you go to a there if you're A, an extrovert, B, you learn best audibly, like to sing in crowds, and you generally, like, you know, get energy from big crowds and things like that. So if you're an extrovert, you like to sing, you know, if you do all the things that extroverts like to do, then hey, church has been a great place to help you grow. But you know what I found is that like a third to a half of us, we don't function that way, right? And so here's what I also kind of came to realize is that I asked the Lord this week to help me really find a fresh perspective, and the fresh perspective was, hey, maybe you need to think through more broadly than just hey, let's throw a program where people get in groups, and half of the people who are in those groups may not even be comfortable in the context of those groups, may never want to share their life in those contexts of those groups, may never want to be in a group that size, may never feel life from this experience. They feel it in joy, and they engage it, but they may never get a life-giving experience from this. So a third to a half of the people who walk in the doors and a third of the people to a half of the people who live in the world we live in would say, what you're offering just doesn't do it for me. So maybe, just maybe, the challenge for me, the Lord said, was why don't you kind of step back and think a little more broadly beyond the, here's the program that would help you grow best, to think more broadly about how does this engage and fall on the ears of every single person who's listening. And so what I asked the Lord to really help me understand was, okay, help me understand and help me articulate the process and some principles that have impact wherever you come from today. And so if you're what I would call a relationship heat seeker, and basically what I mean by that is, man, you can be friends with everyone. The bigger the crowd, the more energizing the crowd, the better you like it, the more life-giving it is. Or maybe if you are even what I would call a relationship heat shield, which doesn't mean that you don't like people, but it just means that those experiences are not life-giving from you or for you, but you need to figure out the context of what it means to live in relationship with others, but not in the context that we always kind of force-feed down your throat. I believe that there's something here for us today. So this I need a relationship, if it's going to be one of our clarifying values, it has to be clarifying for everyone. And so just like questions may be different for each of us and our resource needs might be different, it's okay for I need a relationship to look different for different people. Some of us, when we think about I need a relationship, it automatically has an S on it. I need relationships. The more the better. And for some of us, it's I need a relationship, and it may be one or two. And so I want to begin with a little bit of a confession. If we've ever made you feel guilty by proclaiming that the goal we want everyone in is a small group, I'm sorry for that. Not because we don't value small groups and that we don't live by the value of life together. We've just kind of maybe defined life together or connection in a very narrow bandwidth, and I want to apologize for that because I recognize that may not, in no way is it intended to devalue connection groups, but just as a recommendation and as a statement, if we've ever made you feel like groups of 12 are the only way you can grow here, then we're kind of apologizing for that. And I want to be, it's a victim, I can't, maybe I've been a victim not of misleading, but probably a victim of extroversion ideology, let's say, because I am an extrovert. I mean, that's how I function. And so the secret about extroverts, interestingly though, is that we can't figure out why everyone doesn't want to be extroverts. So we can't figure out why it's like, why wouldn't everybody want to love relationships? And why wouldn't everybody want to be in crowds? And why wouldn't everybody want more and better and louder and bigger and all those kind of things? But I recognize that we haven't really been fair in our processing that. So I want to get to the Word today. And in the Word that I've read and studied this week, I want to give you some principles about what relationship means. And I think it will sweep a little more broadly, hopefully across the entire culture of our church, wherever you may be coming at today. So I want to give you a few passages, and hopefully you've got a weekly today, and you can maybe write down some of these passages, because I think that they may be something that you want to track back with specifically, along with a principle for each one. So I have two principles for you, and then kind of two takeaways that will go in with that. The first one is this. I talked a few weeks ago about a bold willingness to ask level 20 questions. That was kind of the driving point of week two. This I need a question is there has to be a willingness to go beyond the shallow questions that might keep us from growth and keep us from being stretched. And so I challenge us to be willing to write down or think through what's the level 20 question that really clarifies the next step that I need to take in my relationship with God. And we usually have more of these than just one. But some of them, we kind of they're kind of layered together, because one may be a lock to a next step. But in addition to a level 20 question, one of the things I recognized that the Lord was kind of speaking to me this week is for all of us, wherever you kind of come from in the introvert, extrovert, you know, kind of perspective, we all need some level 20 relationships. We all need a level 20 friendship or two or 20 or 50 in our life. Some of us may have 20 level 20 friends. Some of us may have two. But one of the things I think is true is that no level 20 friends will always leave spiritual gaps. If we have no one in our life that has kind of level 20 friendship status, that will always create some spiritual gaps for us. Some of us don't want to be level 20 people with anyone, honestly, and that's a fear, not just because of our personality type, but it's a fear of vulnerability or a fear of openness, a fear of what will this bring out of me or expect from me. And the passage I want to kind of challenge you with is found in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we read in verse 13 these words. James chapter 5, verse 13 says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is any one of you can't see? Let him put his glasses on. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. It doesn't say the second part. You know, you just trust me on that. Okay. Next verse. Has anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then look at verse 19. It says this, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, someone should bring that person back. Now, here's what I see in that. There's five or six kind of different perspectives that are mentioned in this passage. If a person is in trouble, if a person is happy, if a person is vulnerable, if a person is convicted, if a person is confused, if a person is lost, every one of those experiences, do you know what they all have in common? They're actually all level 20 experiences. They're all deep, emotionally challenging, frustrating, life-draining experiences. And so for any of those things, what he's saying is, hey, there's an important value in prayer. We should bring those to God. But he's also saying, you know what? You got to find somebody, whether it's one somebody, 10 somebodies, 20 somebodies, 100 somebodies, you got to find somebody who can track with that and through that with you. That is a level 20 friendship. For some of us, you know, we need 20 level 20 people. For some, we need two. The point isn't how many. The point is that there has to be a willingness, James says, if you're going through challenging stuff, give it to God, but you're going to have to journey with at least somebody who is willing and able and capable of going to the deeper places in life with you. Now, one of the questions for some of us that may be asked is, and I didn't talk about this a couple weeks ago, but how do I know someone could be a level 20 person for me? How do I know that someone could be a level 20 person for me? And it seems to be very oversimplified by saying this, but I think, you know, one of the ways you know if someone could be a level 20 person for you is to ask them a level 5 question and see how they respond. And see how they honor you and see how they honor the information you've shared with them. See how they are entrusted with the gift of this relationship that you're trying to offer to them. And that doesn't mean to be oversimplified. I think for some of us, we're so willing, some of us are, like myself, are willing to go level 20 almost too quickly, that there's a sense of, that we get burned and we get, you know, there's a trust broken in that way. For others of us, we're going to have to push ourselves into this, that the thought of being in a level 20 relationship of true vulnerability that involves conviction or involves confession or involves confusion or vulnerability, there's a huge amount of risk for us there. And so for me to stand up here and say, hey, you got to find somebody that you can go level 20 with and you should find them this afternoon before you leave this church building, that's crazy. But we have to push ourselves, we have to stretch ourselves in that way because all of us, I believe, without any level 20 relationships in our life, there will be a spiritual gap that we cannot overcome. I truly believe that. Now the second passage and the second concept, besides this, we need level 20 friendships. And so one of the challenges maybe for us is to begin thinking about, number one, do I have anybody in my life that way? And if I don't, what would it take for me to begin to uncover that? I mean, it's a spiritual endeavor of asking God to bring people into that part of our life. And I want to talk about that at the end today. But then I want to challenge us in a second way. And last week, I read a passage and I just kind of glossed over it. And I didn't really talk about the depth of it because I kind of pulled a point out of it. But I want to read this back just a little bit. It's found in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus is giving this description of to his disciples about how to learn how to pray. And after he does, then he says this to them. He says, suppose that man, I really am going to have to start wearing my glasses the entire time. I'm just totally blind back there. Suppose you have a friend, and you go to, it's just a shame, I'm going to turn 40 in a couple weeks, and it's like I've turned 80 overnight. I can't see anything. Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. That doesn't sound like much of a friend, right? Don't bother me. The door's already closed. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, but because of your shameless audacity, we talked about shameless audacity and what we asked, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And I begin to think about this passage, and it's an intriguing one to me because it would seem to me like, again, for a person who is in need, you know, you go to your friend, and of course, they're going to help you, right? I mean, that's the way it is. But this friend is basically saying, hey, you know what? I'm kind of done for the night, and I really don't necessarily want to help you. But because, not of your friendship specifically, but because of your shameless audacity, I would turn that a little bit and say, maybe because of your history, the person who is uncomfortable with your outreach, uncomfortable with this level 20 expectation, will be willing to engage your need, even if it's inconvenient for them. I think all of us need a level 20 friendship in our life, that level 20 friendships, without them, we have gaps in our spiritual journey that will not be met. I also think that this passage actually points to what I would call, we need an and one relationship. Everybody needs an and one relationship, and here's what I mean by that. It's a person who you're not necessarily going level 20 with all the time, and they may not even be a person with whom you have a deep, long-term, active friendship. It may just be someone you've had friendship with in the past, but distance precludes activity. Here's what I mean by that. My wife, her best friend from high school and from college, Rachel and Holly. We've been out of high school about 22 years now. We've been out of college 17 years or so. And both of these sets of friendships, they live at least 100 miles away. But I can tell you, if there was an emergency or a prayer need in our life right now, do you know who the first person my wife would call besides probably me is? Holly or Rachel. Now, they haven't had locational proximity for years. We might see each of them maybe once a year. But there's something that's happened over the course of time, this history that's been built, that you just know there's somebody you can fall back to in your time of need. We have some friends, Jared and Deanne Jeanette. They are our great friends. We met them in LaGrange before any of us had kids, and we did stuff together, and we had, you know, trips together and all those kind of things. And then, you know, Jared's in ministry as well, and so, you know, life has just kind of drawn us in opposite directions. And yet, here's the thing. When we've had relationship challenges, when we've had parenting questions, we've reached out to friends here, but we know that Jared and Deanne, I can tell you, if I text Jared right now, he would respond to me in just a few minutes, because I just know we have this and one relationship, and it's not a relationship that's dictated specifically by location or proximity. It's just we have this history that we know that we can go to level 20 pretty quick because we have this history. Now, it doesn't seem very spiritual, but here's the reason why I think there's a spiritual component to this. I want to show you some verses that are in the book of Proverbs. I think there's some wisdom here specifically for us. It says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Do you know what an and one friendship is to me? It's a brother who's born from adversity. Born for adversity, that when tough times come, we may not have a huge amount of traction that, you know, I don't know what's going on in their day-to-day lives right this minute, but we can pick up instantly and go forward. Now, for many of us, one of the things that we may look at in life and say, well, I don't know that I have that. I would argue you probably have more of this and one friendship traction than you realize. And for some of us, maybe one of the most important and maybe the most spiritual thing that we could do today is when we get out of here today, just send a text. Or write an email, or a Facebook message and just say, hey, you know what, I just want you to know I've been thinking about you. I did this a couple years ago. One of our teachers from high school, Mr. Gott, was a guy I honestly haven't spoken to in probably 15 years. But there was a Sunday a couple of years ago, and I just felt a prompting from the Lord to write him a note and just say, hey, I just want you to know there was power and significant spiritual influence in what you invested in us in our high school years. There were some trying moments when we lost friends who passed away, or and those were still just very challenging moments in our relationship life with God and with others. And to be able to write him back and say, hey, I just want you to know I value what you invested in me. And so we haven't, you know, tracked in all kinds of ways since then, but there's an openness there that it's like, hey, I know if I need somebody to journey with me in prayer about something, that there's a circle of people that may not be locationally or logistically close to me, but there are brothers, there are friends who love at all times. There are brothers who are born for adversity. And maybe the question is, who's going to sit with you? Who's going to bring you bread? And maybe the challenge for us is just to thank God that they will be a lifeline to you, and that they will be a lifeline to you someday. I'm sure. I don't know when that will be. And so maybe again, the thought is, you know, this idea of I need these level 20 relationships. I need this and one. Who can I kind of go back to? Because maybe the level 20 concept is one that's like in the present. And maybe this and one thing is somebody that can kind of come back from the past in that way. But I would also challenge us, beyond just to kind of think about who this is for us, maybe we should also be challenged to begin to think through how we could be that kind of person for someone else. Who are the people in our life that they just know that if a tragedy or a challenge or a question comes up, that we could be that person for them? Proverbs 18:24 says this: one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. How do I know who should be my level 20 persons? How do I know, you know, who are the people in my life that I can think back and say, hey, man, if tough times come, I can lean on those folks? Well, that's a good question. How do we figure this out? And so I begin to kind of articulate in my mind, how do I know who is somebody I could lean into this way? How do I know who I should entrust level 20 kind of relationship status with in my life? Who is my shameless audacity crew? And some of them may be the same person. They may not be, but are there any minimum requirements? And I thought, okay, on a very practical level, are there any minimum requirements for this kind of relationship in my life, whether it's a one, you know, one person or 10 people or whatever the case may be? And I just started rolling through some of the passages, some of the places in the scriptures, specifically in the book of Proverbs, where the word begins to talk about this idea of true intimate friendship. Proverbs 12:26 says this: the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is a great spiritual kind of evaluator for this level 20 friendship context. As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. And I begin to think about, okay, what does it take, and how have these relationships developed for me over the course of my life? Because I have some of them, and I thank God for these relationships that have been developed over the course of time, and some that are in kind of development, in high-speed development right now. And there's all kinds of components that go into it. But as it relates to this idea of a spiritual level 20 relationship, here's what I believe the Lord said to me. Whatever your quantity need on the relationship spectrum, every level 20 friendship should require spiritual chemistry without temptation. Spiritual chemistry without temptation. Now, here's what I mean by that. For a lot of us, when we think about this, and even when I was talking to Carlotta about this last night, when we think about spiritual chemistry without temptation, the initial response there is to think about gender temptation. That, like, I really shouldn't be in a relationship of spiritual chemistry with someone because of the risk of physical or emotional temptation that comes into that. And there is a part in that. And that was immediately what she began to default to when we started talking about this. But I would argue there's another level of spiritual chemistry, temptation, that maybe we don't even consider very often. See, I think we think about the temptation towards unhealthy bonds, but we rarely think about the temptation to compare. Or we rarely think about the temptation to compromise confidentiality. Or we tend to not think about things that if you found them out, that you can't handle it. Or they might not be able to handle it. But see, that's a breaker of spiritual chemistry. And so while I would absolutely affirm that there are boundaries in terms of the gender spectrum of what spiritual chemistry means, I don't want us to just minimize it to that. Because I believe that some of us are afraid of this level 20 relationship because we've been burned by this before. We've been burned by breaks in the spiritual chemistry where we looked at someone and we thought, that person is the kind of person who has it all together. That person is the kind of person that I could grow from. That person, if I was in relationship with them, then I would be, you know, at the next place. And yet, I believe that there are other means by which this temptation can infuse and break down spiritual chemistry. And so our spouse can be, can be in this role, but I don't believe that they can be the only one in this role. And the key here is, this idea of going back to, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Let me give you another verse. And this is one of the hardest verses for me to get my hands around because it's so true, but we have to really, this is a level 20 kind of verse, okay? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And here's what that verse means. If you're going to go level 20 with someone in terms of this, I need a relationship that can really foster and cultivate a next step in a relationship with God, they're going to have to say things to you that you're not going to want to hear. They're going to say things to you that you flatly disagree with. They're going to say things to you that you have to process and think through. They're going to say things to you that you're not ready to own just yet. See, anybody can multiply kisses. Anybody can tell you what you want to hear. But a level 20 relationship will call things out of us. See, iron sharpening iron, that hurts. I mean, it doesn't say skin sharpens skin, and it doesn't say bone sharpens bone. It says, you know, iron sharpens iron. This ideology that there are two people who are very strong in their ideology and in their faith, and but they're going to run up against each other, and it's going to challenge, and it's going to spark. And there are going to be some sparks that cultivate into new flames of passion for God and for other areas of life, but there are also going to be some just painful dings there. But wounds from a friend can be trusted. Spiritual chemistry without temptation. And so for us, groups are a resource. And studies are a resource. And we expect that those things will add value spiritually, but resources will only do what they can do. And I would challenge us that wherever you are kind of on the spectrum of needing in terms of the quantity of relationships, quantity is not the issue. Because there are certain value that relationships can only do, that relationships will do what they can. And I know I make it seem easy, and I know it sounds so easy. Just go out and find someone to share your life with. It's easy, you know. It's But maybe you're saying that's not for me. And so I would just challenge us with a couple of last thoughts. One is, you know, maybe we need to start with a short list of candidates with whom this might work. Maybe we already have it. But I recognize, and I'm going to tread into a little bit of dangerous. This is a little level 20 for between the two of us today. But just bear with me for just a second. I think some of us have gotten hurt. Some of us have gotten frustrated. Some of us have gotten disappointed. And maybe some of us have even pulled back spiritually from God and others. Because people who are on our short list of candidates that we would choose haven't chose us back. See, I think more people get hurt by this than anything. And it's because we really only begin to think about what we might gain from the relationship without running the spiritual chemistry test. And here's what I mean by that. I have experienced relationships in a context where the truth of the matter is I wanted it more than they did. I wanted a friendship from someone that didn't want the level of friendship with me back. We've all experienced that. We've probably all been on the other side too. That people who've wanted to be great friends with us, we just haven't felt the spiritual chemistry in that. If you've ever felt hurt by that, I want to give a perspective today that maybe is a little different than you've ever thought about before, and it's this. Rather than feeling frustrated, disappointed, or kind of disillusioned with this level 20 kind of relationship concept that could really be the next step in our relationship with God, rather than feeling kind of like we've been rejected in that, I would argue that some of us maybe need to consider that a mismatch in spiritual chemistry is actually a win from Jesus and not just you being rejected or disappointed. Let me read that again. That maybe a mismatch in spiritual chemistry with someone is a win from Jesus and not just you being rejected. Because there's this sense that, hey, you know, if I was just friends with this person, or if I just spent more time with that person, or if I just knew this person better, then somehow that is the unlock for me. And I would say maybe it is, but maybe there's a sense that a spiritual chemistry disconnect might be an answer from Jesus and a blessing that that maybe we don't realize, because there's this sense of maybe there's a temptation there. Maybe there's a temptation that would come up in my heart or in my life that I don't even realize right now. But the more time I spend with that person, the more I'm going to, you know, want to compare myself to them. Or maybe there's going to be a confidentiality issue down the road that they can't handle or that I can't handle. And all of a sudden, what we thought was going to fuel this next step in my relationship with God might not be the case. And so I would just argue that there has to be in some of this a level of trust in the Holy Spirit to cultivate spiritual chemistry from both sides without temptation. Just kind of process that when you think about that one a little bit. And the last thing I would say is that in the midst of all this relationship stuff, that we can't miss the relationship with Jesus part. James 5, also in the very beginning, he says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. The first act is prayer. See, rather than just focusing always on getting level 20 with somebody else, the first step is that as we get level 20 with Jesus, then he will bring those level 20 relationships into our life that will be spiritual chemistry without temptation. So here's the end. What do I need to do with this I need a relationship challenge? I think there's intentionality. I think there's communication. I think a calendar. I think a willingness to be coached, a willingness to risk, and a willingness to kind of put ourselves out there a little bit. But some of us, again, maybe just need to send a text or make a phone call or grab a coffee or write a letter or begin an intentional communication regularly. And if spiritual chemistry exists, I would say that almost every interaction, here's how you know if a spiritual chemistry exists. If almost every interaction between you and that person begins to sharpen and hone areas of your life. If you feel like that, man, every single time we're together, they are drawing something out of me. They are challenging me. They are encouraging me. And it is so life-giving, and it is so, it is expanding my view of God and the world and people and loving others. If you feel that, that's an indicator of spiritual chemistry. I just feel better. I just feel more on. I just feel more alive. I just feel more in tune with Jesus as I spend time with blank. And maybe we just got to ask, who fills that blank for us? We want next steps in your faith more than anything. That's why we put cards in pews and why we ask questions like, how can we help you, and clarifying and matching and those things. But I would tell you that God wants the next step in your faith and the next step in your journey way more than we do. I mean, we want that for you, but God wants that for you. And I would challenge us with this notion that as we lean into a deepening relationship with Jesus, and maybe it's a beginning of a relationship with Jesus, maybe we have nothing there and it's like, this is the place to start. As we do that, we will recognize that he is more than enough. If we're relationship gapped right now, person to person, he is more than enough. He is more than willing to fill in that gap, but also more than willing to direct you towards the relationships of spiritual chemistry without temptation. We'll ask him to do that. I truly believe it. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for this word. And I hope that this word has just kind of spoken a practical place of hope into us. For all of us, we kind of stand at different places in the relationship trajectory. Some of us feel like that we are totally gapped right now, and that there is no spiritual life being breathed into us by anyone else. Some of us, we recognize that we have relationships, but they're not relationships of spiritual chemistry. They're not helping us be more like you and know more about you and those kind of things. For some of us, we just need to rekindle some of those things. But we recognize that where there is relationship gap, there is spiritual gap. And for some of us, we're going to have to push ourselves. We're going to have to lean in where maybe we have expected others to lean forward towards us first. We're going to have to take a step of initiation rather than a step of waiting. I pray for all of us, though, that today, wherever we are in this kind of relationship question, that you would begin to reveal, first and foremost, that you are more than enough to fill all the gaps in our soul. And that you have those people of spiritual chemistry who will be iron sharpening iron to us, who will be those who we can entrust as friends, even if they push us, and even if there are wounds from a friend, that we'll find healing and hope and hopefulness in that. Help us to know that you are more than enough, and that your desires for us will give us all that we need to take the next step in our journey with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's rise up. We're going to finish this morning with a...